Let's turn to 1 John, right? 1 John today, chapter 4. And let's stand as we'll be reading verse 10, 11, and 12. 1 John chapter 4, I'll read verse 10, you read verse 11, and we'll read verse 12 together, okay? 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10 says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Verse 11. Verse 12 together, "No man has seen God at any time. If one love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us." Amen. Let's have a word of prayer again. Lord, we open our hearts to receive the prompting and the teaching of the Holy Spirit through Your Word. And help us, Lord, to base that faith on what Your Word is saying. The Lord, we might understand more of Your love. We pray You help me behind that cross. And that, Lord, as I speak, it will be You who will teach us what it means to love in Christ. And we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, well, let's focus on God's Word right now, all right? 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 to 12. God has, by way of introduction, God has two types of attributes or His character. One is called the non-transferable attribute, okay? Which means that He doesn't give this attribute because He can't, okay? An example of God's character is His omnipotence. Okay, He's all-powerful. God is the one who created the heavens and the earth. All right, if you look at if you just study the universe, if you study the human body, you study any part of this world, the creation of it demands that there must be someone who made all this. And God is all-powerful. And He can do everything, right? He can do all things, right? There's one thing God cannot do. Did you know that? God cannot sin. Okay, even a young child can know that. Okay, God cannot sin. God cannot even think about sin. God cannot even want to sin. God even cannot imagine what sin is. He can't, because He's that holy, and God will not tolerate sin. Okay, that's one of His attributes. Another attribute of God is His omnipresence. He's everywhere. In Singapore, we have about 600 to 700 churches. For every church that believes that Christ is the Messiah, He's the Savior of this world, He's God, God dwells with them every time they meet. He's able to do that because He's all present, He's everywhere. You know, there's a blessed teaching for us as Christians. The psalmist says in Psalm 139, "I can make my bed, I can go up as high as heaven, God is there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there." You can't run away from God, He's just everywhere. And He's everywhere personally. God is not just an invisible force. He's someone that's everywhere, especially for a believer in Christ. Wherever you go through, He's there, right there with you. And that's a blessed promise. All right, that's another non-transferable attribute. And God is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows what you're going to have for lunch afterwards. And God knows what you're thinking of right now. God knows you're planning your menu right now. I don't know. But God does know what you are going to do afterwards, what you did yesterday. How many of you can remember what you had for breakfast today? Some people have a hard time. Oh, you can. Some people can, of course. Yeah. But you know what? As you grow older, Kaylin and Asher, you know, the adults can forget what you eat for breakfast sometimes. Okay, I don't know. But God knows everything. You know, it's just amazing. I was just going through some lessons on omniscience. God's knowledge of everything. He knows not only what He knows why, He knows all the permutations of it, He knows what can or cannot, can be, should be, what if, He knows everything. You know, that's in the comfort for Christians, because God knows everything in your life. Every single thing. Nothing just occurs to God. He knows everything. And that's why we can trust Him, amen? That's why we can actually depend on God. That's His omniscience. All-knowing. But then God also has transferable attributes. Some attributes, okay, the non-transferable ones, we can't have when He created us, but there are transferable attributes, such as anger. Do you know that God gets angry? I thought anger was a sin. No, anger is not a sin. Anger is something, God gets angry at sin. Okay, He gets angry at sin, but He still loves us. Okay, He gets angry whenever we break His law, but He still loves us. Okay, and that's why we get angry. Okay, being angry is not a sin, but if you hold your anger, it becomes a sin. That's why God says, Ephesians chapter 4, be angry and sin not. Okay? God allows that emotion of anger to respond to something that you know is wrong, so that the other person will understand that and make things right. But if you hold it against that person, that becomes sin, all right? So we have to be very careful. But then there's another attribute of God that's transferable, is patience. Oh, we need patience when we work with people. Okay, we need patience in situations. We need patience with our children. We need patience in the situations of life. God has patience. God gave us that patience, okay? And then what we're going to talk about today is God is love. It's an attribute of God that He transfers to us. Many people talk about love, but the Bible tells us what real love is. And in these next 2 months, we're going to be looking at the whole biblical teaching of love. And I just can tell you, I'm just beginning to understand. I've preached on the love of God for years. But you know, I just recently learned from the Bible and from wisdom. And I believe God wants us to learn as a church what it means to love, and whether or not we truly love, according to what God says. Okay, so today, hopefully, we'll be able to see that. Now, what does genuine love look like? The Bible tells us, let's look at the Bible verse now. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 to 12, there's an introduction. Now we'll go on to the scriptures. The Bible says, herein is love. That means, this is where we find love. Herein is love. This is how we find love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. In this verse, we find that we are loved by God, not that we love God. Not that we had any interest in God. If all of us are really honest with ourselves, before someone came to share the gospel with us, we had no interest in God. We were just living our own life. That's what John is saying. This is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. You know, the Bible, when it talks about but, is interesting because God loved us despite us not loving Him. Okay? The word love, L-O-V-E, that God loved, is also interesting because it means that God had already in the past, before we were even born, loved us. It's a done deal. Okay? The first characteristic of love, genuine love of God, initiates. Initiates. Genuine love initiates. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. Love will not wait for, in the context of 1 John 4, love will not wait for the other person to initiate reconciliation. Love is always actively the first to move out. When Adam and Eve sinned, who initiated? God. God initiated looking for Adam and Eve. When Cain sinned, who initiated? God. God came to Cain and said, why are thy countenance fallen? What did you do? God initiated. When men sinned, when we were yet without strength, God came. God initiates. God is the embodiment of love. He is love. And He's teaching us from 1 John 4 that He is the one that initiates. When men sin, God initiates to reconcile and restore men to Himself. Romans 5 verse 8, what does it say? Anyone who has any memory of Romans 5 8? But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, there's an interesting part, while we were yet sinners, we are in a condition of sin, we are in condition of rejecting God, we are in condition of refusing to give up our sin. Christ paid for that sin that we want to hold on to, which we shouldn't hold on to. In 1 John 4 19, the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. All right? Because He first loved us. Genuine love, God's love, always wants to reconcile, always wants to make things right. And so He always starts the process. How many of you, in application of this principle of genuine love initiate, when you know there is a problem between two, you will think this way? I didn't do wrong. He should come to me first. I didn't do anything wrong. Why should I be the first to apologize? Why should I initiate? Why should I do it? You should know what he did. He took my favorite Mickey Mouse pencil and refused to return it. And I paid a whole $1.25 for it. He just refused to give him back. Why should I say sorry to him? You know? apply the principle that God says, genuine love initiates. Genuine love initiates. You know, there are many broken relationships in this world, even among Christians. Simply because we say, I don't think I should be the first one to step forward. But biblical love initiates. If we want to be like Jesus, He came. He came. The Bible says He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. The word receive means to welcome. Can you imagine coming to a group of people that want to kill you? But He came. Why? Because He is love. Because His love. You know, when Jesus actually stood before Pilate and the Sadducees and the chief priests, He knew they were going to kill Him. But perfect love cast us off all fear. He was able to come because we were more important to Him than His own fear. So genuine love is able to initiate. So the next time when you had a quarrel or anything, to be like Jesus, you'll be the first one to say, I'm sorry. Or you are the servant to say, I know there's some misunderstanding. I'm here to make things right. Genuine love initiates, number one. But number two, let's move on. Okay, 1 John 4, verse 10. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. What did He do? He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation is a big word. It means we have sinned against God. God is angry at our sin. He still loves us. He is angry at our sin. He's got to deal with it. But I want us to understand this principle. Many times we apply that, and that is true. God hates the sin, He loves the sinner, but it's the sinner who sinned. So God has to judge the person. Does it make sense? If I stole something, I'm a thief. Does it make sense? I cannot separate, I didn't want to, I just happened to steal it. No, we are responsible for that, okay? So man had a great need to be saved from our sin. All of us are sinners by birth and sinners by choice. We are sinners before God. Our sins has caused the anger of God. God was angry at the sin. But God is holy. He hates sin in us. But because we were the participants in that sin, He has to judge us. Because we have the sin nature in us. No one in this room can say we are sinless. If we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. 1 John chapter 1. We must be very clear on that. Unless you understand the seriousness of sin in us, we will never understand the propitiation of God. We will never understand that God sacrificed. Okay, let me just go on. We are sinners. You cannot say my heart is so sinful. No, you are sinful. Don't separate the heart from your actions. Today there's a lot of people talking about the heart, and what you do is what your heart is. Think about that. What you do is what your heart is. Your decision is based on what you... So whatever you do is actually where it came from. That's from your heart. Okay, so very clear on that. But you know what? That's where God's love comes. God saw that we were helpless. God saw that, Johnny's gonna... I know he's admitting his sin, but I know he cannot help himself. I've got to come in. I've got to do something. You see, love initiates, but love got to do something. There was a sin debt to be paid. God knew that only He could pay it, and so He sent His only Son. Number two, genuine love gives. Genuine love gives. Genuine love gives. Okay, it's a simple thing. I've talked about it before. In John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave. Because God gave, because God loves, He gives. Genuine love always gives. If we say we love but don't give, that's inconsistent. True love always gives. Always give. Okay? Now, it's interesting because in the Hebrew word ahava, in the Hebrew word, it's interesting, that's why God is helping me to understand a little bit more of love. The Hebrew word for love in the Hebrew is ahava. The word half in the center is the word give. You don't find the word I in the ahava Hebrew. I is not in love. It's always give. Okay? Now that's an eye-opener for me, because afterwards I'll explain why. You see how God gives, because His love, He gives. He gives according to our need. He gave to be a propitiation for our sin. You see, if you don't give according to need, you will spoil the person. Agree? And parents, we need to be careful we don't spoil our children. Oh, I need to love, and so I give, and 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 I go, oh, because I love my children. It's okay if they've done wrong. It's okay, buy sweets, it's okay, their teeth rot. I'll just give all the sweets to them. We need to be careful in our giving, because if we don't give according to need, we will spoil that person. We will spoil the individual. But if you don't give according to their need, you can starve that person too. Okay, remember in Singapore recently, there was a couple who starved the maid, and I think she's going to be in prison for 3 months or something like that. I can't remember, or 3 weeks. I can't remember all the details. And the poor domestic helper was here to work. She went from 49 kilograms to 29 kilograms in 15 months. She stopped her bodily functions. The regular cycle spot. She would lose her hair. And she wasn't even allowed to bathe in the house. She has to go down to the condo. You know, the condo, they have this swimming pool, and to take a shower there, not allowed to bathe. And of course, the couple tried to plead insanity, you know, obsessive compulsive for cleanliness, and therefore she's like that. The judge says, no, she's a human being, and you mistreated her, and I'm sending you to jail for that. And the fine, $10,000, I think it was jail for 3 months, but the prosecutor wasn't very happy. I'm not too sure, asking for a heavier sentence. When you don't provide the basic need, you hurt the person. Not many children are hurt. I think many Singaporean children are not hurt financially, physically. For instance, I'm of the opinion that many of our children may be hurt spiritually because we're underfeeding our children spiritual things. But you know what? When God gives, He gives appropriately to our needs. We needed a Savior. God gave the only thing He knew, His own Son. Number one, He gave according to need. Number two, He gave His best, His own Son. I've got 4 children, and over my dead body, you're going to ask me to give my son for someone who don't deserve it? Think about that for a while. We all have precious people and things that we have, and we will not give it up for anything else. But God was willing to give because we needed it. We needed His Son to die for us. And He gave His best. He gave His best. He gave His Son, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The only begotten Son is the only one He has. The only one He has. Okay? Be very careful. I know the Jehovah's Witness believe that Jesus is a lesser God. No, He's not. He's one with God. But He's got the Son. He's part of the Trinity. Equal in power, equal in knowledge, equal in wisdom. But God the Son came to die for us. God gave Himself for us. He gave His best. And then number three, in the giving, God gave voluntarily. Look at John chapter 10 and verse 18. It is printed there. Okay, the Bible reads, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. Jesus did not have to be convinced to die for us. He gave Himself voluntarily. Now, sometimes when we give, we kind of say, do you know why God says He loves a cheerful giver? that whosoever purposes in his heart, so let him give. If you purpose in your heart, it's very different when you purpose in your mind. Because if you purpose in your heart, you generally give quite freely, but if you purpose in your mind, you calculate. Now, how many of you have heard this man? Why? That person is very calculative. Why? Because it's like God says we need to give out of the heart. Okay, when we give freely out of the heart. And Jesus did that. Genuine love gives according to need, will give their best, and genuine love will give voluntarily, according to the scriptures. Okay? He says, I have the power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. We all know that God is love, and therefore we can say God gives out of His great storehouse of love for us. Genuine love always gives. God's love in Christian always is a giving love. I told you, I don't know whether anyone remember, I believe I said 2 years ago, I believe God wants Ambassador Baptist Church to be a giving church because it reflects God's love. I'm not talking about money only, I'm talking about our lives, our hearts, our time. We need to be a giving people because our God is a giving God. We need to just learn to give. But the last one, point number three, so, okay, let me just read a few verses. First, Romans chapter 8, verse 39, reflecting God's sacrificial gift. He that spared not his own son. You know, when Paul used that language, he says, God didn't even let his son go when it comes to saving us. Because that was the best. That was the only thing that would save us. I don't know whether in heaven they had a tribunal. Maybe they have a committee and God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were discussing. I don't know. It's just God the Father said, are you sure you're going to do this? Say, yeah, I love this guy. I said, I've got to come. But you know, the Bible is very clear, all right? Out of his great love, Jesus came to die for us. Christians, if you are saved, don't ever forget that. Because your salvation is anchored in the love of Christ and anchored in what he did at the cross. And as a result, all our behaviors need to be anchored in the finished work of Christ, in what he says from the word, what he teaches us in his love and his giving. Okay? I'm going to touch a little bit more. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God can give us all things, or rather, if God can give us his own son, do you think God will give us wisdom? Do you think God will give us his love? Do you think God will give us his comfort in times of need? Do you think God will give you the necessary dollars you need to pay your bills? Do you think God will take care of all your needs in your family? Sure, he will. He will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Can I say this? There's no place for doubt for a Christian. Why? When we understand our God is a giving God. He loves us immensely. Like a father who loves a child and will not starve the child. Unfortunately, there are examples. I just read a horrifying account today of this mom who was divorced, and she's only about 26. I don't know how true it is. It was just on the news. She had twins. She left one twin at home and took the other twin to a pub. And she was drinking the night. And when she came home, the other twin died. Eaten by a rat. I don't know how true it's that, but she's being arrested for neglect. When the child dies because of, that's sad. You know, we live in a world today that even natural love is not there anymore. In some situations, I'm thankful that many of us still have God in our hearts and we love our children, we do all we can for them. Our love is not perfect because we're not perfect, but we do our best, amen? But when you see things like that, it's like, Lord, help me not to be like that. But God wants us to move further than that. So how do we respond to this simple message of genuine love initiates? Do you realize that it pervades throughout all your relationships? Do you realize that in genuine love gifts, it pervades through all your relationships? You know, as a believer, we have no excuse because God has shown us an example. Amen? But number three, last point, 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, that phrase is so. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us here. If God so loved us, if this is the way God loved us, if God initiated his love towards us, if God's love is giving, if this is the way God loved us, what the Apostle John says, we ought also to love in the same way. We ought also to give the initiating love to our brethren. We ought also to give our giving love to our brethren. Because if this is how God loved us, then God wants to follow us in his pattern. Point number three, God wants us to love one another by the example he showed us. Not, you know, we have our ways of loving one another. We have our ways of, you know, sometimes when We have talked about this before in the Asian culture. When I've offended someone, and I'm too proud to say sorry, I buy you a gift. But I will never say sorry to you. I'll just kind of buy you one. You should show that you should show my sincerity, right? Well, you can. But you know, in the Bible, I'm taught that 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, you need to say you're sorry. You need to say you're sorry. If we confess our sin, God wants us to love the way He loved. And then in verse number 12, it's interesting. The Bible also says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. I believe this is a key that God wants all of us to learn. God says, no man has seen God at any time. In other words, we cannot say we've seen God. Only the apostles could. But then God says, an evidence of God living in your heart is that you are giving. If we love one another, love equals to initiating love. Love meaning initiating love and the giving love. If you're giving, if you're initiating that, the friendship and the reconciliation with someone, if you are doing this, it then shows that God is living in you and that God's love is perfecting in you. Now, I want to tell you a story because this is interesting, because God really blew my mind to show how selfish I am. There was this boy, he's a young man. He was in the car with his dad and mom. And he said, "Mom and Dad, I've got to tell you something." "Okay? What do you want to tell us, son, you know?" And then this son said, "Me and this girl has broken up." And then the father, "Oh no! What did you do?" "Dad, I didn't do anything. Oh, I gave her my... You guys have been dating for a year. You know, she seems to be a nice girl. Why did you break up?" And then the father said, "I gave her my recipe for the chicken soup." And then the mother said, "Don't forget about your chicken soup. Can't you see our children? My son is in a crisis, you know?" And I said, "Mom and Dad, don't panic." What then the mom said, "What did you do?" "I didn't do anything. It's just that we don't feel it anymore. You don't feel it anymore." And the son said this, he said, "Mom, there are many fishes in the sea." And then the mom said, "Oh, there's fish love. Fish love. Fish love? What is fish love?" And then I think the mom told another story that says, there was a Jewish rabbi walking past a cafe, and there was this man really eating, and he saw this man really enjoying his fish. He was eating and all that. And the Jewish rabbi came to his, "Oh, I can see you really enjoy that fish." And then, "Yes, rabbi, I really love fish." And the rabbi looked at him, "You love fish? You love fish? You would hook the fish out of the water? You will gut the fish? You will fry the fish and you eat it and you say you love fish? You don't love fish. You love yourself." That blew my mind. That blew my mind because after I understood what this Jewish rabbi was saying, you love yourself. And then he applied it to this son. "Son, you say you don't feel it anymore. That's fish love. You love someone for the feeling you can, the good feelings you can get out of that relationship. For what you will get out of it." Wow. And when I look at it, I say, "God, I'm sorry, I'm so selfish. That we get, we say we love. The real reason is because of how it will minister to me." The reason why I say that is because the Bible says, if you love one another by initiating and giving, then the love of God is matured in you. And then I realize, for God, He gives because He loves. Think, please listen along. God gives because He loves. We love because we give. Now, Brother Johnny, I'm confused. So was I. But I believe the Bible is clear. God's character is love. And therefore He gives. And His love is perfect. Right? Our hearts are sinful and desperately wicked. How does God change us into that love? It then made sense to me. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. In this verse, 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. If you would love and give, just as God gave, My love is then matured in you. You know, we have fallen into the trap of saying, I will only give when I'm ready. That's fish love. When my heart is ready, then I will serve. That's fish love. It's for what you can get out of it. Oh, I hope you listen to what the scriptures is teaching. When Jesus gave, you will notice that many times God encouraged His people to give, because by giving, and interesting, as I was listening to the teaching on this, when we give to someone, we are giving a part of ourselves. We are learning to think that the other person is more important than me. And the more we give in service, in finances, in our love, in our time, we begin to lose ourselves, and God begins to fill us with His love. Does that make sense? And the reason why that is true is because when a person doesn't anymore receive the benefit, and that's what this son was saying, and said, Dad and Mom, does that mean that you want me to give and give this? What's in it for me? You know what the mom and dad say? The mom wisely said, oh, if you want to love her and you want to expect it, that's not love, that's a business transaction. Now, as a pastor, I fully understood when God says He loves, that was the end in itself. It's then for us to respond. Because when God gave, He gave everything. And you know it's interesting? You know what's the meaning of unconditional love? I give without expecting anything back from you. That's God's love. That when we are willing to give, our heart is ready, it's okay if I don't get any credit or anything back. If this is the way God loves us, God wants us as His Christians, His children, to love the same way. You know why there are many fights in families, fights in churches, a cooling of the heart? You know when people come to church and don't come anymore, you know why? I understand. It's fish love. It's very easy for people to leave the ministry if we have fish love. Unless we are willing to come to God and say, God, Your type of love can only be given by You. And when we have the Holy Spirit of God in our hearts after salvation, we should be able to look at our spouse and say, I love you, my wife. And I don't care you hate me the rest of your life. I will still love you. That's love. You know how I know that? When Jesus was at the cross, what did He say? Father, forgive them. You think the Romans understood? Thank God the centurion did, amen? He said, truly this was the Son of God. Some of them did, but majority of them just went on their merry ways. When Stephen was stoned to death, Stephen, Acts chapter 7, the last verse, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. You think every one of them understood? No. Thank God there was one man, Saul, was there. God touched his heart later. Christians, are we willing to love when you will get nothing back? Unless we're willing to go there, our marriages will never be strong. Our church will never be strong. Our ministry will never be strong. Unless God would fill us with His love, to love it in such a way that say, God, no longer am I going to go into fish love. I'm going to give. Because that person needs it. That's the story. That's the end. And this son then asked the mother, what's in it for me? And then, of course, the mother said, giving. For us to give is the end in itself. We give. Therefore, we love. The more we will give to a person, do you know why? For some parents, they can give till their hands crack. And because they love. The more they give to their children, why did they keep on giving? And sometimes children will come back and scold them and insult them and don't even want a place for them. Because of the selfishness in our hearts, sometimes we don't see children. I want us to try to just get this. Children, sometimes we don't even say thank you to our parents. You know why? You say you love your parents. Sometimes you love them for what you can get out of them. I'm not just saying the children, adults as well. I believe the Lord Jesus wants to teach us today by the example He's giving us. If God, beloved, if God so loved us, if this is the way that God loved us, by initiating reconciliation, by giving till there is nothing left to give, what has Jesus, after He died, there's nothing left. You know what? After that, not many people believed on Him. I'm thankful there were still 120 that stayed, and now, of course, God used His Spirit together in love. They reached out. You know, even the apostles, when they preached to those people who were killing them, they had love for the Pharisees, and as they preached, they knew their life was at stake. But you know what? The greater love was controlling them. And they're willing to give. Even the Pharisees killed them. They consider it a joy to suffer for the name of Christ. You know, Christians, when we find it hard to give up things for God, it's fish love. We pay lip service to the Savior. Now, I'm encouraging you, because the Apostle John, who is the Apostle of love, is telling us, you know how John encourages us to love? By pointing to the cross. Christians, if you never get what Jesus did at the cross, you will never understand genuine love. In all its goriness, in all its pain and blood and abandonment and being forsaken by the very people who say, remember Peter said, Lord, we'll go to the death for you, remember? And what did he do? He just denied. You know what? Jesus still loved Peter. Jesus had no fish love. He didn't want Peter to follow him so that he will feel good that he had many, many people follow. No. Jesus was still love when he was alone at the cross. He was love when there were 10,000 people to feed. You see, when you have God's love, you don't need the feedback because God is the one. I'm not saying as Christians we don't need encouragement, but I'm saying God wants us to develop this kind of love. Know how we do that? The love that says, I don't need people to say thank you to me, I'll give anyway, is love. You know how we need to do that? By giving. By giving. And I want us in our church for the next 2 months to think of ways how we can give to each other. Whether it's time, whether it's money, whether it's fellowship, whether it's anything, to give with the other person in mind. And even if the other person don't invite you back and don't buy nice chicken for you, he says, it's fine, Lord. I'm just wanting to be a blessing to that person. God wants us to love one another by the example He shows us. In 1 John 3:18, that's why John said, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. Don't just talk about love. Don't just say you love. You know, I've been hammered many times as pastor, you say you love, but you don't do. I'm convicted by that. Not that I don't do, but maybe it's not enough or doesn't meet the need. But John says, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In deeds. But Pastor, I don't have the heart to do it. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. In John chapter 7:17, the Bible says, if any man will do his will, then will he know of the doctrine. You see, I believe our society is trapped in Greek wisdom. We need to know everything before we do. No, we need Hebrew wisdom. There's a God, He knows what's best. When I do and obey what He says, I'm wise. And as I begin to do what He tells me, I become wise. That's Hebrew wisdom. That's Bible wisdom. You see, love is an action word. Amen? We all know love is an action word. But what if you don't feel like it? That's the point. God says we love. We do first. With God's help. And that's where God says, verily is the love of God mature, perfected in you. You know, the more we give, people are going to see God's love through our giving. And that's when they will come to Jesus Christ. In Christ, we see that for God so loved the world that He gave, when we give our love to God, how is that seen? What were some evidences of our love to God? Example, we give our obedience to God in baptism. I don't feel like it. I don't feel I'm ready for it. You know, it's interesting, in this conversation between the son and the parents, the son was saying, you know, the reason I don't feel that, and I don't think that I need to find myself. And then the father said to me, how many times did you count? Oh, 12 times. What 12 times? In your conversation and reasoning about why the son broke up with the girlfriend, he used the word I 12 times. It's all about me. I need to find myself. I don't feel comfortable. It's all about I. I this, I that, I need to stick a bumper sticker. And there is no letter I in the word love. And in the Hebrew, and it's interesting, I'll just end off with this thought before I give you some practical. When Hebrew is considered to be the first language of this world, and God has embedded the word love in Hebrew to teach us genuine love gives and gives and gives. And God demonstrated by His own giving. And now for Him to bring us back to His love, He's challenging us to give so that His love can mature in us. How do we see that giving in our own Christian life? By giving our obedience in baptism. By giving our time in Bible reading to know God. By giving up sin. By telling God, God, I'm in this whatever because I feel that I can feel good. We need to give up the feeling of wanting to feel good. Because Jesus did not feel good when He was at the cross, but He did it anyway because He loved. And we need to realize that yes, humanly, we need that encouragement, but what if it's not there? Then God's word needs to control our motivations. Does that make sense? So husband, sometimes your wife will say she doesn't love you. It's okay, Lord. You get a letter. You say, no, I'm going to love you anyway. That's how marriages get strong. And sometimes husbands will do boo-boos, you know. Husband makes mistakes too. But the wife says, I don't care, I still love you. Our time in our service, you know, when we give God our money for the Lord, for His kingdom, our time in our service for the local church, we increase our love for God, His kingdom, and His church. When we give our efforts in reaching the lost, we love the lost more. Ever wondered why Philip, the deacon, became Philip the evangelist? Because the moment the church scattered, he went to Samaria to win souls, and God used him mightily. He had four daughters who were on fire for God too. Why? Because he went. Christians, can I say this? You don't have to think about your obedience. You don't have to think about what God says. You need to obey. And when you begin to give in your service, I'm not saying that there are people who say, oh no, I have to think through this. Go ahead, think through, work it out with God. But you know what? If there is no conclusion of an action for the kingdom of God, it's fish love. We are paying lip service. I'm sorry, but in this generation, even myself, we have to come to an acknowledgement. God, we're paying too much lip service to you. Don't say we love God. There's one bumper sticker that said, don't say you die for Jesus Christ when you cannot even get up and go to church on Sunday. Wow. I'm going to fall, so are you, but he won't. So let's tell God that, God, I'm honest, Lord, it's fish love for me, but God, help me to love the way Jesus loved. And then start somewhere to give. I say, God, as I give, it's painful, but God, as you gave for me and suffered that pain, Lord, help me to be like you. When we have that spiritual mind frame as we give, within 3 months to 6 months, God is going to change. I'm no prophet on that, but I do know if you would follow what God says, God will change you. All right, let's close with our prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I pray. I mean, the first 2 points is very straightforward, Lord. Genuine love initiates and genuine love gives. But it is the last point, Lord, that gets us personally many times. Lord, your love is so great. There is no greater love than what you have done for us, that a man laid down his life for his friend. Heavenly Father, I'm not saying that we don't have an ability to at least care for someone else. But Lord, because of the selfishness of our heart, when we look at the whole, when we are trying to walk with you and for you, we do love. But Lord, sometimes the motivation of love can be controlled by selfish reasons, known only to ourselves. Father, thank you that every brethren here have had their breakfast, so their physical needs are all taken care of. Father, I pray that, and thank you, Lord, that many of our brethren here do have families and places to live in, so our physical needs of comfort is taken care of. But God, thank you for taking care of us. And sometimes we even forget to thank you. But yet, Lord, you are teaching us as Christians a deeper lesson that we need to love and give and initiate and love the way Jesus loved. That, Father, forgive us many times, even myself, the selfishness of that love. That we think is love, but when we look at the entire spectrum of our actions and our motivations, we need to be honest to say that, Lord, we need you to revive our love for you. With your eyes closed, heads bowed. Is there anyone who say, Pastor, pray for me that I would love the way Jesus loved? I don't know how God's going to do it, but I do know that God gave us a principle. If you learn to give and give and give of yourself, because the more we give, the less we'll love ourselves. Is there someone say, Pastor, pray for me that the Lord will teach me to give so that I can love more? Is there someone like that? Amen, I see that hand, I see that hand. Amen, I see that hand. Is there someone else? Just put up your right hand, I'll pray for you. I pray for you. Is there someone else? All right, Lord, I pray for all of you Christians that's put up their hand. Oh God, the things that we go through, yes, Lord, life situations will put the pressure on us. But help us to realize, Father, environment and surroundings cannot dictate our character with Christ. So, Father, I pray for these brethren who have put up their hands, that they learn to give until there's nothing left to give. They learn to stretch themselves for you, Father, to show that love. And that, Father, it will not just be for them that we will mutually love one another, that all of us will gain the encouragement we need. Father, I pray for the brethren who have put up their hands. I know there might be a need, deep need in their hearts that only you can meet. And so, Lord, I pray you strengthen them by your grace, your strength, and then lead them, Lord, in doing the right thing. And help them to give to you first, of themselves to you first. And then, Lord, they will be able to give, even in their poverty. Even when they have nothing to give, you will still give them things to give. Lord, I pray for our church. And Lord, we need you to teach us to love the way you love. That, Father, we don't need the physical, visual reward. Although that's very encouraging, Lord, I'm sure. But that, God, in our hearts, we will be so grounded in the love of Christ that you teach us, beloved, if God so loved us, teach us to love the way you love, Lord. Oh, how we need it in this last generation before you come. Lord, perhaps some of our unsaved friends are not saved because they don't see the Christian love. And Lord, I know you are still working in our hearts. I know your grace is still strong. I know you are still working in people's hearts. We thank you for the person who was saved yesterday. And Lord, we know you are still working. You're not finished with us, Lord. But help us to respond. Help us, Lord, with our hearts to say, Lord, I can't do it, but I will. I will follow you. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. Bless everyone. I'm sure some may have made personal decisions, but they didn't put up their hand. That's okay, Lord. You know them, most importantly. Lord, I pray that they will grow towards you by giving and giving, so that at the judgment day, Lord, you said those who are given to you, you will give back. Teach us, Lord, to be more like you. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. I pray bless everyone who is here. I pray as they leave this place, that, Lord, they will not leave your presence. They will not leave your word. They will not forget about what they've learned today. Thank you for what you're going to do in our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, before you leave, I want to encourage you, go home to your families, give something.